Minnesota, no matter who they have on the floor, seems like they're not a team that just knows how to go away. What did it mean to you guys to be able to get a tough win?
I always say that every game is important. Every win is, like, especially in this league, it's very important towards the end. So but today, like, since we have some injuries and, you know, not healthy bodies, this is a big one against a healthy team. So it's great for our confidence and knowing that every single person in this team can just play and win the game.
You talk about just the chemistry you have with the lane at times. You guys ran a lot tonight. So you were getting whatever you wanted in the paint at times.
Yeah. I mean, we're just one team, you know, and it's really fun to play here. Because it doesn't happen a lot that the chemistry is so good. And you can see it on the court, you know. So it's hopeful for the future.
And lastly, how important was it that you guys were able to get those stops at the end of the game to create that separation?
Well, I think the biggest moment was that coach took us together and just told that we had to finish the game and keep our heads in the game, because I feel like our minds were maybe going a little bit, the game was starting to get aggressive and a little physical. And so I think that moment changed for us that we had to be focused on basketball and just play, and that's the moment that we took the distance.
A little out of it for a second, yeah. How to regain your poise?
So proud of this team. There's so many players that have just been staying ready by doing extra conditioning, getting extra shots up for moments like these where we call on their name and they're ready to go. So huge team effort, huge win as a group. Knowing that we have each other's back even when people go down, so it's big for us.
Especially with people going down, yeah. What did you think of the defense tonight that you guys were able to a couple times? Every time, you know, Minnesota doesn't really know how to go away, that you guys were able to put them away.
Yeah, they're a really tough team. They're relentless. They keep coming at you. But defensively, we're able to put stops together and, you know, rely on people and mismatches on offense.
And with some of those players that you talked about staying ready, one like Maisha tonight, talking about the guy that she did.
It was so exciting to see Maisha come alive like that. Like I said, there's been players that have been staying ready, and she's one of those people, so it's fun to celebrate a night like this for her.
What's it been like for you this year with the type of things you guys have on this team? Just staying ready.
It's been great. Like you said, I have to stay ready. I have awesome post players in front of me, so it's like, yeah, and awesome teammates like Shatori too. But, you know, it's just staying ready and, you know, being ready when my number's called.
With a game like this, it seemed extra physical at times.
Yeah.
What did Coach say during, it was like during the fourth quarter? It looks like he was gesturing for you guys to kind of settle down.
Oh, yeah. Weird. You know, it basically just settled down. Like, yeah, like you said, he was making gestures. Just settled down, and we were able to compose ourselves again and continue the lead.
Were you upset that they called that foul on the pass to Emma and they took away?
It was like a quick touch pass. Sis, oh my God, I was ready for one. But it's all good. It's all good.
Sorry about that. First of all, with Coach said it was just a really, it was a long week for you guys.
Yeah.
What's it mean to come out and get the 3 points tonight?
Massive. I think it was, we needed it for our team morale. Guys bought in. It was a grind today, but, you know, that's what you need in games like this. And we needed a win at home, especially for our fans. You know, they've been waiting for one for a while, and, you know, we're happy to get it at home in front of them.
What did you think of the effort from everyone tonight?
It was great. We had a game plan, stuck to it. Quincy was great up top, battling, and that's what we need out of him. Box defending was great. Bill came up with a couple big saves, and that's what we expect from him now, and it was awesome.
You talked about how massive it was. Got some reinforcement this week.
Yeah.
What does that mean for you guys going down the stretch?
Yeah, we worked a lot with Felipe this week about, you know, how we want to go about defending, and he took to it right away, and I thought he was great today, breaking stuff up and getting his position, and you know, just kind of being that anchor for us in front of us.
You know, everyone worked extremely hard, and I think over the past couple of weeks, or, you know, a few weeks, you know, we haven't really understood our identity, right? We've been kind of lost in the middle of what type of team are we, and obviously watching the Galaxy and studying them, we knew they throw a lot of numbers forward. They're very vulnerable in transition, and it just happened that, you know, in this moment of our season, you know, we look more comfortable as a transition team, as a counterattack team. Obviously, we would love to have the ball, especially at home. But with a team that has good players and can control games, you know, I thought, you know, we have to give a lot of credit to ourselves to be able to understand that and be clinical in the transition. And you know, Bill made great saves. People were throwing themselves to block shots. And you know what? That's what it takes, especially right now in a tight season. Mm-hmm.
When did you find out about your spot on the field and starting 11 and playing in that middle role?
A couple days ago, we had talked about it, and you know, I obviously talked to the coaching staff a lot on kind of what they want and you know, what they look for in me in certain roles, and you know, I felt comfortable there, whether it was with Wayne or Quincy. I think you know, when it comes down to it, it's just about doing your job. And I think when you put a player like myself in a position that requires a lot of work, there's no excuses, there's no complaints for me. You know, I'm gonna do it, and I thought it was a difficult game. There was a lot of running. There was a lot of time without the ball, but we made it worth it.
Oh, the shoulder, the fall.
Yeah, it was fine. No, it just kind of took some air out of me more than anything. It wasn't the shoulder, more. Breathing, so yeah, I'm all right.
Fuck that ball.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another week here, Studio 202, DC TV. This is the Focus TV. Got Octavia White here, Cardell Dudley. I'm Wilson Tarpey Jr. We got so much to discuss tonight because, you know, this news and sports, it just doesn't really stop. We're going to talk a little Mystics, got some DC United action. Octavia with her, you know, some thoughts on NFL preseason, whatnot. Some people are happy, some people aren't. Some people they're missing franchise players and whatnot. You know, things are happening in the NFL as always. Another wonderful edition of 9450. Can't wait to share with you guys what Jamal Haywood has for us this week. Then obviously Cardell's going to finish everything off with good old rapid fire. But the Washington Mystics, they've now won 3 in a row after beating Minnesota, the Minnesota Lynx, 101-78. The trio of Elena Deladon, Ariel Powers, and Emma Mieseman scored a combined 68 points. It was also the third time this year Washington has eclipsed the 100-point mark. Odyssey Sims led Minnesota with 20 points and 8 assists. You know, Cardell, you said you tweeted during the game, Minnesota's had an issue taking care of the ball, and it clearly hurt them in this contest. They finished this three-game homestand up tomorrow night at home. They're hosting the reigning champs, the Seattle Storm. In terms of injuries, per team release earlier, Kiara Leslie is still out. She's been out most of the season. That's not a surprise. Christy Tolliver will miss a second straight game with a right knee injury. Ariel Atkins, who left Sunday's game a little early after a collision with Sylvia Fowles, she's questionable, and Tiana Hawkins is probable. Your thoughts on what we saw Sunday?
I've been looking all season kind of, you know, for other players to step up consistently to help Deladon with the load, you know, to keep opposing defenses on us. And Ariel Powers and Emma Mieseman has been doing that. They've been on a tear, especially over this homestand. But even Emma, since she kind of got the first three games under her belt, got her rhythm back from coming overseas, she's been hell. But, you know, specifically about this homestand, it's been impressive. Like, Powers is averaging 16.5 points on 59% shooting from the field, haven't missed a free throw in two games. Mieseman is averaging 22 points on 73% shooting from the field. Same thing. She hasn't missed either from the free throw line. They've been so high that even against Minnesota, I saw them hesitating to go double Deladon. And if you don't double Deladon, it's easy work. So, you know, that says a lot. But to be honest, Elena Deladon is just showing she's the runaway MVP right now. It's just really child's play. You know, no disrespect to anybody. She's doing, like, to borrow a phrase from Isaiah Thomas, Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas, she's treating everybody like they're in high school right now. She's just in a rhythm where there's nothing nobody can do. I mean, Minnesota came out physical. Their schemes were well. On defense, you know, obviously Cheryl Reeves, one of the best coaches in the league. The doubles came from all angles. They threw different bodies at her. She was just I mean, she's so in the zone. She's doing moves. I know she want to do a full move, take a dribble, do a spin. She's doing like half of the spin and going right up and shooting a jumper and only touching around and messing the defender up. Like, they can't even just react. They just stuck and just watching. It's a sight to see, man. And, you know, obviously she got player of the week again. I think it's her fifth of the season. You know, again, you know, averaging 22.5 and 9 rebounds. And 2 assists over that span from August 2nd to August 11th. But during this homestand, her efficiency is just off the charts. She's averaging 22.5 points, but it's on 62% shooting from the field, 91% from the line, and 9 rebounds per game. The only negative is she's uncharacteristically off from deep, from three-point range. And, you know, she knows she's going to clear it up sooner or later. I just like how she's getting with she's doing her damage within the flow. It's not like ISO. It's just within the flow. They give her touches. She's passing it out. They're moving the ball. It's all in sync right now. And right now, no team has been able to break the code. And also, she's defending well, rebounding, leading, being what she is, a franchise cornerstone. You gotta give her full credit. I have nothing but respect for Deladon. And it's a shame more basketball people, self-proclaimed basketball people in the area, haven't, you know, came through and watched it, because you watch one of the greatest players in her prime just dominate, and this will not be here forever. Like, seriously, we probably haven't seen anything basketball wise in this area on the professional ranks probably since when the Bullets was winning championships, kind of, you know, with Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes and those guys. Just seriously, like, all-time greats, you know, will be in the Hall of Fame, no-brainer. Leading the team, competing for championships, but dominating. You haven't seen that since then. And it's a shame that not enough people in the basketball community, you know, are realizing that, coming out and seeing it, because it's man or woman, it doesn't matter. You could take from her game, how she controls her pace on her movements, her efficiency, how she shoots, how intelligent she is. It's something you could pick up from her. And it's just a joy to see.
Yeah, and I just love the fact that she's embraced that leadership role. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, we've been talking this year, you know, at times when they're missing either her or Christy, that, you know, it's a struggle.
Right.
That was a game without Christy. Christy's a big part, especially in terms of drawing attention, because they got the two big guns in their vets and, you know, other players who are very good, but there's yet to be that player to stand out. Like, yes, you have to account for me each and every night. One of the players that we've talked about several times that have really come into their own, she's coming to her own, Ariel Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
Is she's growing before our eyes. I think for the most part, most people thought she was very talented coming out of Michigan State. But here in Washington, we knew, you know, sometimes with players that can do so many things, it takes them a while to figure out when to use which tool in the best situation. Like, she hasn't mastered everything, but her outside shots become so consistent, it opens things up, because she is a plus athlete. She gets to the basket, she has no problems finishing. We talk about what she does defensively, and she was part of that trio that had at least 20 points in that game, and she's been pretty consistent this season, so I just wanted to shout her out for the work that she's put in. One of the other things that happened after that win, the Mystics are back atop the standings. They are now 17-7. They have a full one-game lead over the second-place Connecticut Sun.
Right.
And tomorrow, you know, the Storm, obviously we know who they're missing, but the Storm of the Storm, they are on a two-game win streak. And, you know, we talk about the beginning of the year, like, the Mystics are the hunted, right? You know, they're one of the teams that's going to be the hunted. What they've just done, we just told you guys, are back in first place. Seattle's not coming in here to lose. Mm-hmm. The last time Seattle was here, matter of fact, they won.
Right.
So Washington's going to have to be ready, especially if, you know, they're playing without Christy and possible without Ariel.
Right, you know, I feel the same. Obviously, against Seattle, starts with Natasha Howard, one of the best bigs in the league. And Jordan Canada, she's just a clone of Sue Bird. You know what I'm saying? You could tell she adopted how Sue Bird run the point, and she's doing it the same way. Kind of John Stockton mode, being highly efficient. With her, not just her shot, but just her decision-making. She don't really turn the ball over, but she gets a high rate of assists. She gets other players involved. She sets them up in areas where they can succeed. She's just on her game, man. And she's holding the fort down which makes them even more deadly when, obviously, when Sue and Bree return, their death will be off the charts, and they'll be right back in that mix as far as competing for championships. And you can't leave out Jewel Lloyd, Alicia Clark, and Mercedes Russell, who have improved as young bigs. You can't leave those out. So, no, this is not going to be a cakewalk. And the Mystics can't approach it like that. I know they won't. I know it's a ball. I'm going to let them, especially being shorthanded. You know, and honestly, they beat them in the finals, so I don't care what shape they're in. Anytime they come, we play them. I'm trying to see y'all. I'm trying to smack y'all for that. So get y'all up out of there, just let it be known. So, you know, just having that chip on your shoulder until you, you know, God's will, win the chip. That's when you celebrate. Right now, it's about business.
Yep, and for those that don't really pay too much attention to the WNBA, you're missing a pretty good season. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to enter the home stretch of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Playoffs could be here before you know it. It's not too late to get on board. I think there's a game right now on Twitter. I think it's Atlanta and New York. So, you know, you can watch both. You can open two tabs.
And also, all our fellow peers in the media and stuff, we need to showcase these ladies' games and not just only when they brawl. Like, that killed me how that's literally the leading topic on a lot of sports shows across the board. Meanwhile, it's been great basketball being played all season long. You rarely see that. You know, it's a blip on the radar unless somebody do something historic. And like, come on, man. Like, we should be well past that, man. They're on ESPN, they're on Twitter, they're constantly on. You should see the quality of the basketball. Let's try to embrace that more instead of the nonsense.
Well said, because, you know, covering the WNBA, we've been covering it for, 4 or 5 years now? At least 5. And, yeah, on a typical basis, they don't nearly, you know, it's barely a blip on anybody's ticker on the bottom of the screen or on the front page of people's sites. Man, it's all the Brittany Griner thing blow up everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have that, you can have that same energy for actual basketball reasons, as you said. Moving on to DC United real quick. You know, told you guys last week, they were going through it. Coming off a 5-1 loss, got some horrible news, depending on how you see things. Wayne Rooney's going to be Wayne Rooney's last season in the MLS. As soon as this season concludes, they, you know, the transfer window closed last Wednesday. A lot of moves were made. Despite all that, and on top of that, they had Zlatan Ibrahimovic and the LA Galaxy coming in to DC on Sunday. They beat the Galaxy with a 2-1 effort. It was very, very gutsy. No Wayne Rooney due to an illness. No Luciano Acosta. Simply a DMP. Not one sub was made. Ben Olsen, he rode with the 11 that he chose, and that's the 11 that got a pivotal 3 points. They got goals from Paul Areola and Lucas Rodriguez. The one goal that they gave up was scored by Fabio Alvarez. In the words of Steve Birnbaum, you guys heard in the interview that started the show, it was a massive win from Ben Olsen. It was a long week. There was a lot going on behind the scenes. To cap a real dynamic week with the win, I think it was a special game. The Galaxy took 28 shots, only 4 were on target. The Black and Red did a great job of sacrificing not only the possession, but their bodies, blocking 13 of those 28 shots. And Ibrahimovic, he broke an MLS record, well, set one, by taking 14 shots and only one of them was on target. Shout out to that back line and Billy Meade for the job that they did. There was a clip, if you get a chance, Zlatan was in the box, got a foot on a volley, and Bill made one hell of a reflex save. And there was another save he made in that game, was huge, but big job by that back line to just keep sacrificing their bodies. People really took shots. Sunday night. As we said with the 3 points, they got some time after getting that win to figure out how to utilize their new players. Like I said, no subs were made. There's still Iman Boateng that didn't play. Ola Kamara should be available going into this week. Felipe Martins did play. But, you know, they got a big road game in Vancouver on Saturday. What did help DC United, especially in the standings, because I told you guys they were dropping the past couple weeks, little by little. The New York Red Bulls in NYCFC, shout out to New York if you're a DC United supporter, they lost this weekend. So while DC United won, both those teams lost, and it allowed the Black and Red to jump them in the standings, so they're currently third in the East with some reinforcements and an opportunity to take advantage of this fresh run. There's 8 games left on the league schedule in the regular season, three of which are at home at Audi Field. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, quick little update from Maryland. Octavia, can't wait to see what you took from, you know, what your Eagles did in preseason, since that's essentially what this segment is. Some Pistons playoffs, rapid fire, and we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA schedule. You're watching the Focus TV. Welcome back to the Focus TV. All right, as promised, an update from Maryland Terrapin segment. Cardell, what you got for us?
New additions to the coaching staff. Former Illinois, Florida coach Ron Zook was hired as a senior analyst. His role is to work with the special teams and defense in the off the field role. Quote from Mike Loxley, to be able to add the caliber of coach that Ron Zook is, who I've had the opportunity to work for at Florida as well as the University of Illinois, to our staff as a senior analyst, it gives us another great set of eyes and advice and all the other things that come along when you hire a guy like him and his caliber. We're excited to add Zook to our staff. Zook, as you remember, was the first to follow Steve Spurrier to Gainesville and manage yearly records at 8-5 in 2002, 8-5 in 2003, and 7-5 in 2004. It wasn't long after, you know, that people started protesting, talking about fire, ronzook.com, and all that stuff popped up and all that. But following his stint at Florida, Zook was head coach at Illinois from 2005 to 2011 before spending 2015 to 2018 with the Green Bay Packers.
All right. Well, that's never a bad thing. You see these local trends.
I just think new coaches, they want to hire experienced coaches around them to kind of help speed up the learning curve. And obviously, you know, give them different ideas that they may not know or overlook in different situations, whatnot, instead of kind of hiring people inexperienced like them in that role, you know what I'm saying? So not necessarily coaching, but as the head coaching role. Because honestly, the stats, when, you know, you look at it, like, coaches in their beginning, when they hire a kind of staff that's like them and experience like them, don't go well. So I think he's trying to surround him with great football minds and put it all together so they can have great success. And why not?
Never a bad move hiring better coaches. Especially, like you said, when he starts on the brain. I tell you, what you got for us this week in the Eagles report?
Oh, in the Eagles report. I like that. I think that's a great name for this. It's like, no, I won't do that this week, guys.
Lucky us.
Of course, this past Thursday and Saturday, I can't remember if there were games on Friday, I apologize, but week one of the preseason has concluded. Just to kind of go over the NFC East quickly in regards to the games. The Redskins played the Browns, Redskins 10, Browns 30. The Giants played the Jets. Giants were victorious 31-22. The Cowboys played the 49ers. Cowboys lost to the Niners 17-9. And then the Eagles played the Titans. The Eagles lost to the Titans 27-10. So I feel like for all the games, it was what I pretty much expected. It's always sloppy. It's always, you know, the first game of the preseason. I will say I was kind of not surprised, but I was expecting to see a little bit more of the ones get a little bit more run, especially in the Eagles and the Titans game, because basically none of their ones played at all. And a lot of the other games, some of the ones at least got a series in. But quotes from Doug Peterson, which is the Eagles coach, is that he feels like his ones on offense and defense are getting a lot of reps in practice against each other. So they're playing more game speed in practice. So he felt comfortable with keeping them out, which may have been a good idea. We talk about him almost every week. Nate Sudfeld.
Hey.
My man, come on.
Is no longer our two. Nate Sudfeld unfortunately did get injured in the preseason game. He broke his left wrist, which is his non-throwing hand. He's expected to be out about 6 weeks, and they are estimating that he should be ready to go back around week three of the season. Of course, the question now is, do we go out, get another veteran quarterback? At this point, Doug Peterson's not sold. You know, he's okay with the two guys that he has back there. So with Wentz being the number one and Sudfeld, who was the two, being out, Cody Kessler moves to two.
So funny.
Cody Kessler moves to two.
That's straight. That's straight.
And then behind him is the rookie Clayton. I can't even say his name. And behind him is... Clayton Thorson, I'm sorry, I couldn't remember his name. So that's going to be interesting to see. The Giants, Eli, played one series. Wasn't that impressive, but, I mean, it's still preseason. I give them that. And Cowboys, the same thing. I feel like the Cowboys didn't really, like, it wasn't a bad game, but it wasn't a good game. It was just like, hey, we're here, we're playing preseason. You know, I didn't see anything spectacular, or you didn't see them really air anything out or anything like that. Dak had a solid showing. Cooper Rush, he had a good first series, kind of fell off a little bit after that. It seems like their biggest worries for the Cowboys are the backup quarterbacks and then the kicker. You know, Brett Maher is having some issues from what I can gather. They're calling it a right hash mark issue. They feel like every time he kicks from the right hash mark, they hold their breath. So,
you don't have a kicker.
Basically. That is what I have gathered.
You got a kicker with the equivalent of somebody only having a right hand.
Basically. And for that to be your guy, you know, a lot of people are speculating, are they going to bring in somebody else, you know, to compete for the position at this point? And it wouldn't be a bad idea, you know, to see.
Is it a right hash problem? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's a right hash problem.
Oh my gosh.
That's, you know, going on with that. Just some other quick notables, of course, around the entire league. Dak turned down 30 mil. I'm sure we'll get into that. Golden Tate also, who was banned for 4 games, he appealed. His appeal was denied, so his ban has been upheld. If you have not heard what happened, apparently him and his wife, you know, are trying to have a family, and he was prescribed medicine for said thing, and apparently it was a part of the PED list. So something that was in the drug was
Viagra, I'm on this.
I don't think it was Viagra. It's some type of fertility drug that he took, and once he found out, he said he stopped. But, you know, rules are rules at this point. But it's a lot going on, you know, there. I'm sure we'll also get into this Antonio Brown and his helmet situation. Let's just call it Helmet Gate, you know. You know, the season is very, very close. It'll be here, you know, before you know it. The next games for your NFC East, the Eagles will play the Jaguars on Thursday at 7. The Redskins will play the Bengals on Thursday at 7:30. Then you also have your Giants are going to play against the Bears Friday at 7:30. And then to round that off, the Cowboys will play Saturday night against the Rams. So I'm guessing they're giving them all the nationally televised preseason games, so that should be interesting.
Yes, I'm just here for preseason to make sure people don't get hurt.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll say I don't feel like there were a lot of injuries this preseason, at least the first game, but there were some, you know, which is why, you know, you've heard the whispers about people really want preseason to be shorter. I don't think 4 games is long, but, you know, I don't play football, so I don't know the wear and tear that it would have on somebody's body. But, you know, that's what they want.
They ain't trying to give up that money. They just want to extend the regular season. Well, you got to play for real.
True.
And honest, and then you got to look at the other side. People trying to make the team. There's less opportunity to
exactly,
do so.
Exactly.
So every change ain't always good.
Yeah, and it's less time for coaches to evaluate them. And, you know, it's less time for them. You know, especially if you do have an injury, you know, say you have an injury in the first preseason game, instead of having 3 more preseason games, you only have one. How much time does that give you really to find somebody else to take that person's position? You
and
know,
also
so
the new way where you don't really get in the pads for a minute.
Yeah.
So pretty much close to the first preseason game, it's going to have to go back to old school so you can be ready. Otherwise, you can be in the first game of the season hitting, getting hurt because you're not used to contact. It's just, like, man, sometimes change, people just need to relax and just deal with it.
I mean, it's been working for 100 years at this point. You know, I think they said this is the 100th season in the NFL. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Next thing you know, we're going to have low management in the NFL with 16 games. Like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, they're
going to
take even more of
their checks. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, what?
All right, look, I'm just saying, the NBA doesn't, but those checks, they count, they're guaranteed.
Yeah.
For a good number of folks. All right, so the Pittsburgh playoffs do start this week. Last week they were off. Give you guys an idea what's happening this weekend at the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. Saturday, August 17th, the first round of the playoffs. You got three courts of action. The 4 p.m. games, number one Bird Gang versus number 8 Lady Revolution. Number 4 J&R's Mom versus J&R's Mob versus number 13 Yolo Team. Third ranked Sniper Gang versus sixth ranked Lady Eagles. The 5:10 p.m. games, second ranked Team Anonymous versus seventh ranked Stay Strapped. You got Goon Milk, that's the 8 seed, taking on 9 seeded Sam Ballers. 4 seeded Black Lives Matter versus Renee Strong, they are the 5 seed. 6:20 games, number 1 seed VA Pride, taking on 16 seed Young Kings. On court 2, Baseline versus Not Me Entertainment, that's a 2:15 matchup and a 7:10 matchup. We got the Hawks versus Deadstock DMV. The 7:30 p.m. games. Court 1, 6-seeded Core, taking on 11-seeded No Losses Rich Grills. 5th-seeded The Museum takes on 12-seeded The Firm. And 3rd-seeded Gifted Athletes take on 14th-seeded Campaign. Get over the Piss League on IG, definitely, so you can see the bracket. We got that up on the screen as well for both the men's and the women's side of things. Should be some good basketball going on this weekend.
I'm kind of excited for this. It's kind of the parity that we expect to see in the NBA this upcoming season. A lot of young teams from last year, they stepped up. I'm like, nah, we here to take control. You know, on the women's side, Renee Strong, we all know, pretty much been the Minnesota Lynx of the Piss League. They finished below 500. You know what I'm saying? So I'm ready to see, you know, Bird Gang, Team Anonymous, Sniper Gang, that all finished 6-1. Are they going to seize control of this division, or will Renee Strong just, you know, do what vets do? You know, all right, now it's time to play.
We're going to just smack it right here. We took the regular season off.
Exactly. Yeah. Low management. We don't run back this. We won all these championships, man. We tired. You know, we good, though. We about to play for real. You know, just come up and smack them. And then on the men's side, you know, J&R's Mob, the defending champs. But will they hold off Virginia Pryor? Baseline, who failed in them last year? Then you got Gifted Athletes, who's new, came on the scene. You got the Hawks, which is basically the St. Mary's College team, the D3 school they're playing in. And then Core, with Ojo, that's always dangerous. You got Museum at 5-2, Goon Milk, you know, led by Angela Lovon and all them. Like, I'm excited. Like, it should be ultra competitive, man, because, you know, especially with all the games going on at the court and stuff like that, it's just going to be like, man, you done. You know what I'm saying? So, like, who's going to make that mark? And for people that don't know, if you don't know where First Baptist Church of Glen Arden is, it's 600 Watkins Parks Drive in Largo, Maryland. So get over there on Saturday and check out the action. It's going to be intense. It's always more intense in the playoffs than it is in the regular season. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it, because just hearing the names and knowing the teams from previous years to hear the like seniors and everything, I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
You a 6-seed? You usually be running through people, yeah. But okay.
We'll see how many of these veteran teams can hold off these young bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. What they say, fall of time is undefeated.
Oh, man. Fall of time is summer league? Oh, wow.
Well, oh, yeah. Man. He don't discriminate.
No matter the league, apparently. I say, you're not right. That's all right, 9-4-50 breakdown, Jamal Hayward. This week it's a breakdown of a cuff swing over again. It's a breakdown of a cuff swing over. Go ahead and check that out. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the Focus TV. As always, we appreciate Jamal Hayward taking time each and every week to show you guys something that you can add to your game. All right, so the NBA schedule was released. Obviously, you know, unless you're just not on social media at all, maybe you weren't aware that happened yesterday. I mean, people started leaking stuff like midway through the day, like way before the 3 p.m. deadline. But we're going to look at the Wizards schedule, point out some things, and then look at the overall schedule as well. So, Cardell, looking at the Wizards schedule, what's some things that jump out to you?
I like that a lot of heavyweights coming to town early. You know what I mean? Like, they opened against Houston, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. I like it because we're going to see where the Wizards are right away. You know, we ain't going to sugarcoat it. Like, they playing lottery teams and mediocre teams, and then you getting false hope. And then when the heavyweights come to town and smack, you're like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
Nah, this is going to be gut check time. They're going to see where they at, what they need to improve on, and where they stand right from the get-go. And rather they can shock people this season, you know, or you know, what the expectations are, they just live up to it. So, you know, I'm excited. They also take on Boston, November 13th, San Antonio on the 20th, November 20th, Denver, November 26th, the Lakers, November 29th, and the Clippers, December 1st. So, like I said, we're going to get a forecast of the Wizards very early. And then, obviously, the NBA. I just like that the NBA work with teams and the broadcast partners to schedule, you know, games earlier. Yeah. You know, for us that cover them, we involve it gets rough. you know, the night don't really end until about 1 in the morning, you know what I'm saying? Post-game, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, especially for doubleheaders, like, for example, 12 of TNT's, 31 doubleheaders, and 22 of ESPN's, 36 doubleheaders with tip-off at 7:30 and 10 p.m. Eastern, or 7 and 9:30 Eastern instead of 8 and 10:30 Eastern. So you kind of get an early feel. And the tip-off schedule was tough for the first week. I love it. You got the Pelicans with number one pick Zion Williamson taking on Toronto, the defending champs. And then in the second game, you got the Lakers versus the Clippers, you know, battle for L.A. Let's get it on. Why waste time?
So, ready to go.
Yeah, October 22nd, let's get it on. On the 23rd, you got Boston versus Philly. You know, Kemba there now. You know what I'm saying? Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, we expecting them to make their leap. Philadelphia, you know, they're still strong. We got got the former Celtic, you know what I'm saying? So, forget his name. Al Horford. So, there you go. So, they got him, you know, which is, he's kind of been a nemesis for Embiid. So, kind of excited to see how that mix works. And then in the second game, you got Denver versus Portland. You know what I'm saying? I want to see how the Denver backcourt, how they improve decision-making defensively. And, you know, Portland is just steady, but they added Hassan Whiteside. Mm-hmm. So I want to see how they look with a big like that, you know, athletic big, then how Dame and CJ going to play off them, pick and roll, lobs and stuff defensively, how he can impact them. It's going to be fun. And then on the 24th, you got the Bucks versus Houston. Obviously, the battle of the, you know, MVPs, from, you know, briefly won it, then James Harden was second. And then Clippers versus the Warriors, you know what I'm saying? The Warriors wounded, Klay not there, but they still got Draymond. You know, obviously Steph's going to be in Kilmer. I don't know why they talking trash about him, D'Angelo Russell. So, no, I'm
that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, Steve may just let the gloves all just nuclear all year, dog. Like, do what you do. And then last but not least, you know, on the 25th, Dallas versus the Pelicans, rookie of the year versus the number one pick, and, you know, and then Utah versus the Lakers. I like what they obviously added Mike Conley. I think he's going to help Mitchell get better in a lot of ways, just professionalism. Not saying he's not professional, just different approach that will improve his game. And obviously the Lakers with the additions that they made on, you know, on the 25th. So that tip-off schedule is mean.
I can't wait for it. Like you said, so many heavyweight matchups to start the season.
Yeah, let's get to it.
For so many teams, it's not only, like you said, with the Wizards, it's good that we got so many good teams coming in early, but just period for teams. Like, talk about Boston, we know where, you know, people already penciling Boston and Philly as teams in the East. You have to worry about here.
They're not necessarily, for the Wizards, not to cut you off, some are coming here early, but most, like the LA and Clippers and stuff, they're going there. Mm-hmm. That's why I say we're going to see what they're made of, because they're going to have to hit a road. But the fact that they dealing with heavyweight teams that early in the season, because, you know, normally they come around like mid-season or later in the season when we kind of see the Western Conference teams. Yeah. They always start off with the East a lot first. But, you know, we're going to see what it is very early, and that will kind of dictate, you know, how the season going to go and stuff and what moves need to be made and all that goes into the NBA season.
For so many teams, too. Not just Washington. For so many teams, like, say you made some moves there in the offseason, you go through that first little grind, you find out maybe things aren't exactly what you thought they were.
A couple of veteran players out there that haven't been signed yet, you might be like, yo, Jay Crow, Melo, we need buckets, baby. Come on, we need hope. Let's go.
Yeah, because you find out real fast, like you said. I agree with the national TV times moving up, especially those West Coast games, especially because there's so many heavy hitters in the West now. A lot of the, you know, players are now in the Western Conference with, of course, LeBron, AD, Kawhi, Paul George, Steph. You know, all of those heavy hitters are out there, so a lot of their games are going to be on later. And, you know, especially since they saw a decline in the ratings last year because, you know, people got to go to work and got to get up the next day. So that's interesting, and I mean, I like the whole homecoming games. When the team, you know, you leave one team and then you play against them the next year. It's a lot of big ones like that that come out the gate. Like you said, Al Horford going back to Boston. You know, Chris Paul going back to Houston in October.
Russ and OKC.
Yeah, you know.
Paul George. I think they're definitely getting two different
reactions. It's a lot. Yeah, you know, it's a lot of it's going to be a lot going on.
Kyrie to Boston.
You know, in November, Jimmy goes back to Philly.
Kawhi not on the way to Toronto, you know. Hey.
Man, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And AD in New Orleans.
Woo. And that's in November 27th. Even Mike Conley going back to Memphis.
Well, I mean, Memphis.
Just because.
I would be so shocked. Memphis is going to do nothing but praise that.
Of course. No, I don't even mean that. I just mean just to see him play against his own team. Because even if ever, you know, that was his team. And, you know, to finally be gone. And, you know, I just think that's going to be interesting. And even if, you know, I don't know what his health looks like right now. Kristaps going back to the Knicks. You know, it's been a while since I've actually seen him play. So, I'm going to just be interested to see that, really.
Him and that boy Luka, woo. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, the Hawks, period.
The Hawks. I like some of the moves the Knicks made. They kind of back in that grinding out mode, too. They got a lot of young talent, man. So
all I'm going to say is a former Knicks fan, once upon a time, that whole hard hat lunch pail thing.
It worked pretty well.
It was productive.
Y'all.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just going to leave it at that. Y'all can laugh and everything else. Maybe you lost your way when you got away from that, you know? Go ahead.
Sorry. Indiana, who went over there? Back over all the
Brogdon.
There you go.
Brogdon.
Low-key, underrated move they need to pay attention to.
It was Brogdon, Lamb, and somebody else went to Indiana.
Mm-hmm. So, pay attention to them.
Quiet names, but people that are, man.
That no-ball, yeah. Understand. Yeah. It's going to be nasty. Yeah. That backcourt is going to be
this
real.
This really making me excited. Like, I thought I was just ready for football season.
Both fans.
Yeah.
Both fans, man.
You can play all three of them together at times. It's going to be so
fun. It's going to be fun.
Another thing, just want to shout out. Obviously, we know that NBA is continuing to grow globally. Mm-hmm. But 48 games, primetime, Europe, the Middle East, I'm most excited about Africa. 24 games on Saturday and Sunday. It's the same time. It's kind of similar to what the EPL, other big soccer leagues do in Africa, where those games come on the weekends. Get NBA like that, it's gonna be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Also for Middle East and Europe, but I think that's amazing, and I'm looking forward to that as well. And obviously, we already know they continue to cut down the back-to-backs. Pretty much, you know, 4 games in 5 days are now extinct. Forget how we grew up. The players and all that.
It's not broke, don't fix it.
You know, shout out to load management. All right, rapid fire, man. What you got for us?
Boop, boop.
Adrian Peterson, Redskins running back, said Trent Williams' absence is impacting us tremendously. Since day one camp, you notice his absence is impacting us tremendously. He told Josina Anderson at ESPN, you go from not having to worry about the blind side at all to having to chip on that side at a tight end there, which changes what you do. I think it's making Dwayne Haskins have to think more, not process things as calmly. Matter of fact, I think it's impacting all of our quarterbacks. Guys are coming off the edge in practice right there on the quarterback and the running back. It's been a struggle. That's kind of very different from what we heard from front office of Washington. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, the front office.
Without being petty, look at you.
Like, the front office ain't out there, you know, trying to duck and dodge these people throwing their whole bodies at you. But, you know, I can see how that can be. You know, somebody that's been there, that knows that position, that's been playing there all that time, you know, it does change the dynamic of the game. It changes your reaction. It changes how you move. It changes how you turn your head to the left and the right, because you always got to be watching now. And especially if you have that hesitation, it's gonna impact your game at some type of level. Like I said before, you know, what I heard, it wasn't even money-wise. Like, I'm sure money is involved, but he has a bigger gripe, and who knows, you know, but them, to be completely honest about it. But hopefully they get something done, you know, for the sake of their franchise. I'm be cool if it don't, but, you know, it's the petty side. I can't help it, guys.
Oh, Jesus.
All-world left tackles, premium position. You don't have one, life changes quick. We're in the age of pass rushers. Yeah,
freakishly athletic pass rusher.
That's what's interesting to me. Like, you literally drafted a freak of nature as a pass rusher in Montez Sweat. So it's cool that you get a great simulation of what those type of athletes coming around the edge can do, instead of just seeing them come around one side, because you typically don't have to worry about them
from the left side. Trent usually has your back. You're not worried. Comfortably set up. A step up. And I love that AP mentioned how it affects Haskins.
Yeah.
Like, you already got so much on your plate. You think you get, you know, you get drafted to Washington. That's probably the first thing in your mind as a quarterback. Like, hey, man, this Trent Williams on my backside. Cool. I don't even got to worry about that.
Now it's flowers.
Now you
how
got
things, how fast things change.
Now you got four linemen. You in trouble.
He up there running sprint trying to get fast. I'm gonna be running a lot, coach. So
snap it, rolling to the right. So,
you know how they go, but they better figure out something. Las Vegas Aces center Liz Cambage opens up. She opened up about mental health in the Players Tribune. She wrote a powerful article on her day-to-day battle with anxiety and depression. She recently set out a few games, and a lot of people didn't know why. And she wanted to explain why and tell the truth. She said, I know that on the surface people are ready to talk about mental health, but are they really? She said she described herself as being sober for months, but at the recent WNBA All-Star celebration in Las Vegas, she said it spiraled into partying, which spiraled into drinking, which spiraled into exhaustion. After an August 1st game against the Sparks, she completely lost it. She said, I found an empty hallway outside the locker room, still in my uniform, and started to panic. I couldn't breathe. She details even more her battles with, you know, mental health, you know, all throughout. She prays the NBA for kind of, you know, bringing in professionals to try to help players with their issues or whatnot. She just says she wished the WNBA would kind of adopt the same thing. Just what are your thoughts on her kind of just opening herself up and just putting it out there, just kind of, you know, in a sense, putting her demons out there so people understand what she's dealing with and stuff she got to overcome just to perform?
I think it's one thing, it's admirable for her to be that brave to come out and talk about it, because it's not an easy thing to do on any level, regardless for an athlete, you know, somebody that got a 9-to-5, you know, any person, period. It's a tough thing to admit when you feel like you have an issue. And especially when it comes to mental health. And in my opinion, I think some people downplay certain parts of mental health. If it's not a grand scheme of a mental health issue, like they're bipolar or they have schizophrenia or something like a big name where people are like, oh, okay, you really have a mental health issue. But when it's anxiety and depression, people kind of try to downplay it, like, oh, you're just sad, stop being sad. You know, a lot of people don't understand the dynamics of somebody that is depressed and has anxiety and has panic attacks. Those things really do exist, and they really do happen to people. So I commend her for being strong enough to come out and actually say that, and say that she's struggling. You know, as a professional athlete, she has a platform. You know, and you never know what that can do for somebody else that could be watching you. And they're like, wow, I'm not the only person that's going through something like that. So I commend her. I definitely agree that she, you know, when she feels like maybe the WNBA needs to adapt some of the practices that the NBA does when it comes to mental health. But I also think she should take it on as a challenge. You know, if that's something that you think should be happening, you know, why not try to spearhead it, you know? Maybe that will help her with her anxiety and with her depression to focus on something else that would be positive. So I definitely, you know, I say a prayer for her because I personally know how it feels. And hopefully she gets through it.
Yeah, nothing. We talked earlier this week and nothing but so much respect for her coming out and speaking. So many other people that deal with some of the things don't have the courage to speak. And not necessarily always the courage, but just it's a tough thing to talk about. Like Artevia said, people say, oh yeah, come talk to me. But for that person to bear everything, that's a totally different experience right there in itself. And it also made me think about what the Wizards are doing with Monty's mental basketball in terms of their care for their players all the way around. And yeah, with the WNBA, with the NBA adopting it, like Tavia said, they definitely need to follow suit.
For me, I'm obviously respect for her. It's not easy kind of bearing yourself out, especially these days. Social media and slightest imperfection, people just take that and run with it and use it to try to destroy you. Like it's really people walking this earth that's perfect and stuff like that. It's just, you know, you gotta have some type of compassion, but it just also shows you how many miserable people out here.
Yeah,
that really need help, and they're kind of proving her point. I think they definitely need adopting the WNBA, not just for the NBA, because women had a different set of issues. You know what I'm saying? It's just, especially for the WNBA players, like, that the men don't have to deal with, like, going overseas. Who knows what they have to deal with overseas, dealing with foreign countries. We are well aware, overseas in foreign countries, you know, they still behind the times as far as how they view women. You know what I'm saying? How they, you know, the respect for women that they have, how they're second-class citizens, sometimes third-class citizens, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Certain countries that these ladies may go play in. So who knows what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis when they're not on the floor or whatnot, which is ironic because they get paid way more over there in those type of countries. But here, it's supposed to be so much more ahead and evolved, they get paid far less. But that's a whole nother discussion. Everybody comes from different backgrounds. It's just different things that bother people. And, you know, you can't be afraid to speak up and go to the right people. My thing is, I know the leagues are bringing in their people. Yeah. But one thing that I'm cautious about is, will the owners have compassion, or will they use that against the players when it comes time for contract talks?
Yeah.
Saying, oh, no, they got all those issues. I'm not going to pay them that. You know, I know they produce, but you see what I'm saying? I'm kind of nervous about that. I get the owner side as well. You know, if they got all these issues, you might be taking a step back. But I would look more into, where are they looking to get help? Have they been getting help? If that's been consistent, then I'm cool, because they realize it's an issue, and that can help, you know, help them. And they're doing what they already ahead of the game. I'm cool with that. It might be an issue if you have all these issues. You might see the council one time. You know, you're not really accepting, taking accountability for your actions. And then there's also the other side of it. All these people that sometimes the actions of certain people, it's not mental health. It's just you having shown bad judgment and having bad character.
Yep.
Don't use mental health to hide behind that too. That's another thing they kind of decipher. So it's a lot of layers with this that they're going to have to work through. But yeah, it starts with definitely talking about it. And it also starts with definitely getting the right people in there to help these athletes stay on track, you know, mentally, so they can just be at their best, not just on the court, but off, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, like one or two more questions.
Okay, alleged report Dak Prescott turned down a $30 million contract extension. There was a rumor saying that he was asking for 40. His people came out saying no, but regardless, is it smart enough for him to turn it down?
I mean, I don't like to count nobody's pockets, but 30 million is a lot. I applaud him for trying to, in his mind, fight for what he feels like he's worth. Do I honestly think he's that caliber of a quarterback? No, I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I definitely think he's one of the higher tier quarterbacks. But do I think he should be the highest paid quarterback? No. Especially with everything, you know, the other players on his team that are going through contract talks as well. You know, Zeke, you know, Amari's coming up as well. They got a lot of people they got paid too. I get where he's coming from, you know, especially with, what was he, a 7-round pick?
Who, 7-round?
Dak.
No, was he third?
I don't remember. Third, okay. Like they quote unquote didn't think he would be the Dak that he is, apparently. But I don't think he's worth more than 30. That's just my opinion, and that's not even being a hater. I don't care what team he would have played for, honestly. But, like I said, if they got the money to give it to you, by all means, go after it. But I just, you know, for his sake, I hope it doesn't ruin his chances for anything else for real.
For me, I just want a little bit more information, because NFL always operates off monopoly money. They, like, whatever number they report is usually never the actual truth.
True.
Because what I heard, like, I didn't hear the big number. I heard people saying, like, oh, he turned out $30 million. How much was guaranteed?
Yeah, it could have been, like, 12.
Yeah, because, perfect example, right? Jimmy Garoppolo, whatever, after this season, that big contract that sounded all good, you can cut him right after this year for nothing. He didn't touch all 100 of that money. Because NFL plays with fake money, right? Yeah. So it sounded good when we got him. Like, oh my gosh, look how much money he got.
Yeah, look at the guarantee part. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where the money came. Was everything front-loaded so they can get rid of you after a year? Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the money, you know, make-up money? I'm not mad at him at all. Secondly, in this state of the NFL, many trash quarterbacks as there are, right, put your foot down and get your money.
Your money, yeah, exactly.
It's like my, I agree with you. I don't think he's a top-tier quarterback. But at the same time, what is he, 25 years old?
Mm-hmm.
25
Something
years old.
Like
you're in an offense. You're on a team with an off in an offense that doesn't exactly – it's not like Dallas runs some great progressive offense that's great at putting points up or actually accentuates your skills. You know, like Dallas's offense is simple and kind of just bad. Mm-hmm. They run the ball. Every passing concept is just trash. So it's one of those things. Another thing for Dallas is like, if I'm Dak, I legit would be like, all right, cool, don't pay me. Fine, get yourself another quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, we can say everything we want. I doubt Dak's just going to sit there. No. You know, but yeah, I would like more information because NFL's funny. That number that they always release, the first number is usually never real.
And you basically said what I was going to say. I just wanted to make sure it was guaranteed. And plus, I just don't trust Jerry Jones anything he say in the media. He plays the media.
Facts.
I mean, the way he controls the narrative in the media, I mean, him and LeBron's camp are like head-to-head in sports. Yeah, like, it's incredible. I lost my respect for him when he did that joint with the cabinet, went out there fake kneel, looked at the camera like, we're kneeling before, fool. The dang anthem ain't playing right now. Like, who you trying to fool? You really think we're that stupid? I'm like, so if he thinks everybody's that stupid to do something, try to pull a stunt like that, ain't no telling what he's doing in contract negotiations, man. So I just take it with a grain of salt. Like you said, and there's a reason why the details haven't came out like that, because it seemed like they're trying to protect themselves. Because if it come out, yeah, $30 million, but the guaranteed offer is like $12 million a year or whatever. People looking at him like, you crazy, man. Like, how you going to lowball? Then everybody going to look at him like he's the enemy. All right, now you starting to trip. Because you messing with Zeke. You messing with Dak. You know what I'm saying? Was you just going to pay Armani or whatever, Cooper or whatever? You know, like, you just going to pay him with nobody to throw the ball to, no one to rush the ball? You going to see that number one receiver ain't going to be looking the same. So,
speaking of the number one receiver, their former number one receiver, he's in the pay Dak camp as someone who's went through those types of negotiations with mm-hmm. One franchise called the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, exactly. So I'm more on Dak's side, but I'm also old school, and I'm never going to change this aspect. Put the work in. Put the production in. Then you only have to speak on it. It'd be known.
Nope. Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So once you do that, it's kind of like, what's my man from the Seahawks, the linebacker that negotiated his deal? Wagner.
Yeah.
He put that work in. So he negotiated his life. Slim, no way this dude going to make more than me. Y'all better get with it. And they got with it. And he negotiated himself. Got more guaranteed money over the first 4 years of his contract and making him the highest paid linebacker. When I so you got to do that sometimes, especially in the NFL. You got to play hardball, but be reasonable. Play hardball when you produce. Like Ezekiel, it's not his production. It's the off-field stuff that's making it. I don't know, because I can give you all this money. If you keep getting suspended 6 games every dang year, that's hurting me. Then you just
give me money for nothing.
So exactly. So, you know, that's just how it is.
All right, well, this week, as we told you guys, we got more Misses coverage this week. As always, get over to financemag.com. But yeah,
also, we had a Friendship Collegiate High School,
yes.
One of the powerhouse high schools, not just in the area, in the country. We adding their coverage to them. I mean, adding their coverage for them to our show. And obviously, we told you about Maryland football, so there's going to be a lot of football coming your way from the Focus. Definitely keep it locked here. They have 2 major games I know for sure coming up. I think they play HD Woodson at FedEx. So basically, they're like the Duke in North Carolina, BCIAA football. So that's going to be a heavyweight. And at PG Sports and Learning Complex, they play the Mather. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting season we got coming up. We got a lot of different new things coming up with the Focus, man. Just follow us. We moving in silence, but it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a fun year.
And I tell you, we're about to be out here working. We'll see y'all next week. Same time, same place. As always, get over to FinestBag.com and MyMindOnSports.com. It's been the Focus TV.